this morning I wanted to share on prayer. And we're going to start in Luke 11, so you can turn there while I'm talking. There are two kinds of prayer. We have speaking in tongues, which is perfect prayer. And then we have praying with our understanding, which is what I'm going to share on. And when we pray with our understanding, we pray in our own personal life, but there's also communal prayer where, like, in the fellowship we pray, or in a big meeting people pray. And that's a little different, because in our own personal life, we're praying to our Heavenly Father, and Terry's manifestation. God said, I'm always calling you to my side. And that's that intimate personal relationship that we can have with the Father in our personal prayer life. So we're going to look at, you know, how to pray, and there's, you know, different things that God is kind of specific about praying. So, but we're going to start in Luke chapter 11 and verses 1 through 4. And it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying," that's Jesus Christ, "in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray." Smart guy. He says, "Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." And he said unto them, "When you pray," and the word, this word pray and prayer in this section is prosukamai, which just means general prayer. "And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So he starts out and says, when you pray, say, Our Father. Now the word Father here is pater, P-A-T-E-R. It means father, parent, and it's derived from the root word P-A, pa, which signifies a nourisher, protector, upholder. And Jesus frequently uses this term to describe his relationship with God, emphasizing intimacy and authority. And, you know, God's always calling us to his side. He's our Father, as he was Jesus Christ's Father. In Matthew 6:9, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," this usage underscores the personal and relational nature of God as a loving and caring Father to his children. You know, we are his kids. And Jesus, when he prayed, always prayed to his Father. He never prayed to God. He prayed to his Father. When you read all the records, you know, in the Gospels and stuff, he prays to his Father. And that's what we should be doing, because we're his children too, just as Jesus Christ was his children. So, turn to John chapter 14. And we're going to see that intimate and close relationship, you know, in some of this morning, that Jesus Christ had with his Father, our Father. So in John chapter 14, in verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." So Jesus Christ is instructing his disciples to ask in his name. When you go to the Father and pray, ask in his name. So that's one of the other things we do, is we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Luke 18. And starting in verse 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 8. And he spake, this is Jesus, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So this is the beginning. Men ought always to pray and not faint. And that word faint means to be discouraged, to give up. And he's saying, men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to give up, to be persistent. And then he goes on with the parable to illustrate the persistence of prayer, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow woman troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. She was pestering him. You know, she was persistent about it. She was pestering him to do this thing for her. In verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? And I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So he tells them not to pray and not to faint. Don't get discouraged. Be persistent. And then he gives them this parable about this woman who... she was always knocking on his door, coming at him, till finally just said, okay, I'll do it, you know. But that's how we should be with prayer. Mm-hmm. We should be persistent and not faint, not be discouraged, not give up. And go to Luke chapter 5. We're going to see that we don't give up, but we also have to make time to pray. In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, it says, and he, Jesus, withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Well, Jesus Christ was a man of prayer. He spent a lot of time praying, and he always did the Father's will. He always went to God and said, what do I do? Help me. And he always did the Father's will. But he made time to pray, and he went off by himself to do it. Mark chapter 1, see another example of that. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. So this was his personal prayer life. This is what he did. Remember, in the beginning I said, you know, we have a personal prayer life, but we also have a communal prayer life, too, where we pray in fellowships, we pray in meetings, or, you know, like some of us have prayer partners. Whatever, you know, you're praying with somebody else. But Jesus Christ took the time to go off and pray by himself. In Matthew 26, we're going to look at a couple of different records about Jesus praying. And this one is the Garden of Gethsemane, which I love this because it shows how Jesus Christ was so human. He was a man. He was also the Son of God. But he was a man. And in Matthew 26 and verse 36, we'll start. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch? That's how I would have said it. I was like, what, you couldn't watch with me for 1 hour? What is wrong with you? I'm sure he didn't phrase it like that, but that's what he said. What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Okay, that's quite a statement, you know. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed and into the hands of sinners. You know, Jesus went three times and prayed, and we don't know what God told him and showed him. But whatever it was, it gave him the strength to do the will of the Father. And that's what God will do for us, always. You know, he wants us to be next to him, to be close to him, to have that intimate personal relationship with him. In John chapter 11, we'll get another record of prayer where he prays. And this is the record of Lazarus, and we're not going to read the whole thing. We're just going to get down to the praying part. So, in verse 38, Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. So that was his prayer, and that's how he did it. He knew that God heard him, but he said it for the people there. And the Gospel of John, which Ruben and I went to Daniel Bader's weekend on a couple weeks ago, and he taught just the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John, and how he had been doing it and making a working translation. And you know, he said to us, the Gospel of John was written to all men, whereas the other Gospels were written for the children of Israel, basically. But the Gospel of John was written for all men that they might know Jesus Christ and be able to get born again. Mm-hmm. You know, so hence this record here in what he said regarding his prayer about Lazarus. I think that's just really, really neat. Just bless my socks off, you know, to learn that and to know that, because I didn't know that. There's lots of things I don't know. Anyway, we're going to move on to the New Testament, and we're going to go to Philippians 4:6, a verse very familiar to all of us. It never hurts to hear it again and again and again. Philippians 4:6, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, that's a general prayer, and supplication, which is a different word, and it means a specific prayer request. with thanksgiving. So we pray with thanksgiving and in the name of Jesus Christ unto the Father. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, the word God here in the epistles, because it's actually the New Testament, and in the New Testament it's the Greek word theos. And in the New Testament, theos is used to refer to God the Father, the Creator, and the Sustainer of the universe. Primarily, God the Father, the Creator, and the Sustainer of the universe. That's pretty neat. So, God the Father, the Creator, and the Sustainer of the universe, that peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we go to God in prayer and supplication, that's the result. We're not infishizzled, we're not fearful, we're not doubtful, because we have a Father who loves and cares for us and has always, as Terry said, drawing us close to us, to his side. He's right there with us. And in James chapter 5, another very familiar. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Okay. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith, the believing, shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults, shortcomings, sins one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The words effectual and fervent are the same Greek word, and it's energeo, and it means do, be effectual, or be mighty in. I kind of liked the mighty in one. It really got me, and I thought, okay. So in this verse, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another and that you may be healed, the mighty in prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Literally, that's what it reads. Hmm. Isn't that something? Really bless me. First Timothy chapter 2. We didn't read this, right? No. Go there. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, which is specific prayer requests, prayers, general prayer, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men. And intercession is someone to petition on behalf of someone else or something else, you know. It's like Jesus Christ is our mediator, you know. It's an intercession. It's a meeting of one person on behalf of someone else. And we do that all the time, you know. I mean, a lot of us have been praying for Marta. We were praying and we're intercessing on her behalf. So, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in sight of God our Savior. And again, the word God here is, you know, that God the Father, the Creator, and the Sustainer of the universe. So, you know, with prayers, supplications, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And then we're going to close in 1 Thessalonians. Back a couple pages. In chapter 5. Verse 17. Pray without ceasing. I didn't write the book. Pray without ceasing, which means constantly and with persistence. And we've seen this. We saw Jesus Christ. We saw him teach his disciples that. And God's telling us here. Be persistent. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. And that word quench means extinguish. Don't extinguish the spirit. So we do need to speak in tongues too. It does open up the floodgates for us and allows us to be strong in the manifestations of the Spirit. But also in our personal prayer life and in our public prayer life, we pray. That is God's heart for us. So, and he does amazing things.